Well, good morning, adventurous ones. So glad you're here. It's good to welcome you here today. I am fully aware of a couple of things. One, I'm fully aware of your curiosity as to how much snow is falling outside. And I can just tell you from my vantage point, it's still falling. So, just so you know. I'm also aware that the sermon title in your worship brochure is different than what we're going to talk about today. Changes happen, and this is one that happened. I want to talk about letting loose of worry today. We're three or four weeks, we're talking about things we just need to let go of. And last week, as we talked about depression, realizing that this is a time of year when a lot of people experience depression. And Pastor TJ did a great job helping us understand that last week. How to let go of that. I want to talk about worry. For several years, a woman was having a hard time sleeping at night. She always feared that burglars would invade her home. One night, she heard a noise downstairs. Her bedroom was upstairs. She did what she always did. She punched her husband and said, "Go check that out." And so, you know, as he had done many times before, he went down the steps, started looking around, and this time, to his surprise, there was a burglar in the home. And he looked at the burglar looked at him, and he said, "Good evening. I'm so glad you're here. Would you come upstairs with me? My wife's been waiting on you for 25 years. Obviously, that's not true, but it is funny. And it is a reminder of how we worry about things. You know, we've watched in the last several years in our country the anxiety over things just really escalate. Part of that, I think, is the all news channels that are on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, always bringing to us every bit of bad news we can find over and over and over again. And when these storms begin approaching, what happens? You know, they start talking about it's going to be the worst storm we've ever experienced, and you need to do this and that, and it just ramps up everybody's anxiety and worry about what might happen tomorrow. And you know, I haven't kept a scorecard, but I imagine if we kept a scorecard of the weather reports, that we would find that their rate is about as good as a professional baseball player of hitting a baseball, which really isn't all that good. We just find things to worry about. Have you noticed we've even started naming our winter storms now? Well, what do you worry about? What's on your plate that seems to just get stuck in your head as a tape loop that you worry about and worry about and worry about? It takes over your thinking. A friend of mine, Eddie Smith, is a great prayer warrior. He talks about the connection between prayer and worry in one of his articles. And he talked about a song that was written in 1988. I know that predates you, TJ, so no, sorry. But most of us have heard this little ditty, "Don't Worry, Be Happy." And if you remember that song, it's going through your head right now, because it's just catchy. "Don't worry, be happy." Bobby McFerrin wrote that. He was a preacher's kid. And he sang it to us and encouraged us not to let life's negative experiences get us down. But worry, Eddie Smith reminds us that worry has a link to prayer. Here's what he says about that. It's because anxiety and prayer are two great opposing forces that simply cannot cooperate. Worry is unnecessary, impractical. It will cripple your prayer life and eventually destroy your relationships with others. And while he's talking about that in the context of prayer, that really is true. Worry just kind of messes up everything. Worry isn't a failure of trust. Worry is misplaced trust. It isn't the absence of faith. It's faith in the wrong thing. Sadly, a worrier has more faith in the enemy's threats than in the Father's promises. Corey Ten Boom once said, "Worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrows. It empties today of its strength." Amen. And that is true. So when we're talking about worry, you all know the definition. We're talking about that emotion in us that begins to feel or experience concern or anxiety. We feel it in our body. We feel the worry. We feel the tensing of our muscles. We feel the knot in the pit of our stomach. And that worry, unchecked, can overwhelm us. Worry is about bringing tomorrow into today. Last week, as we were talking about depression, that's more about bringing yesterday into today, not being able to let go of the negative experiences that happen in our life and bringing them today. But worry is thinking about tomorrow and letting it overwhelm the present. When we're highly anxious, when we're greatly worried, we're looking for some things. One, we want simple solutions, and we want somebody to blame. And we want strict enforcement of the rules, because we think if we can get everything right in its proper box, then everything will be okay. In high anxiety, in heavy worry, we want safety. It causes us to seek self-preservation. Instincts take over and we react rather than really reasoning about what's going on. And when anxiety and worry ramps up in a group, in a church, or in an office where there are a number of people working, that begins affecting everybody because it's contagious. It passes from one to another to another, and it overwhelms us with things. And it starts building a mass reaction. And so when there's high worry in a place, often you find in a group that secrets start happening. And accusations start being leveled at one another. Lies are being believed. And then we have all of this great body of worry in us, and we don't know what to do with it, so we try passing it off to someone else. We probably don't really realize that's what we're doing, but the psychologists call it triangulation. When we're all worried and upset, we start looking for someone else we can tell it to. And in the telling of it, that's where, you know, it becomes infectious and spreads from person to person, and then everybody gets worried. And we live in this state of misplaced faith, misplaced trust. Dr. Stanley Jones was a great missionary to India. His writings are very excellent. If you've never read his stuff, you should. Even though it's now really old, it's still really good. And he wrote one time, he said, "I am inwardly fashioned for faith, not for fear. Fear is not my native land. Faith is. I am so made that worry and anxiety are sand in the machinery of life." Got it? Fear and anxiety and worry are sand in the machinery of life. Faith is the oil. I live better by faith and confidence than by fear, than by doubt, than by anxiety. In anxiety and worry, my being is gasping for breath. These are not my native air. But in faith and confidence, I breathe freely. These are my native air. A John Hopkins University doctor says, "We do not know why it is that worriers die sooner than non-worriers, but it's a fact." Jones goes on, "But I, who am of simple mind, think I know. We are inwardly constructed in nerve and tissue, brain, cell, and soul for faith and not fear. God made us that way. To live by worry is to live against reality." So let's talk about what we can do about our worries. And I think this scripture shows us some ways that prayer helps relieve worry. The prescription for worry, I think, is prayer. Here's why. One, prayer allows you to give your worries to God. He's willing to take them. He's wanting to carry them. He encourages us to cast our cares upon Him, the scripture says, because He cares for us. Listen to these scriptures. Again, from Philippians chapter 4. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. What a great invitation. Whatever it is that you're worrying about today, God wants you to present it to Him. He wants you to give it to Him and to trust Him with it. I find it so interesting that as we read the Bible, written hundreds and thousands of years ago, it's still so relevant for today. We seem to think that depression, worry, and fear are new things for our busy modern age, but they are not. They have always been a part of the human condition. Psalm chapter 94. When anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought joy to my soul. Psalm 139. Many of you could quote this. Search me, O God, and know my anxious thoughts. Test me. Search me and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. And this verse from the New Testament, I think of as God's exchange. John 14:27 says, I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give you isn't like the world gives. So don't be troubled or afraid. What's the exchange? We can give our worries and cares to Him. We can give our guilt and sin to Him. We can give our stress, our shame, our anxiety. And He gives us peace. Prayer allows us to give our worries to God. So don't be troubled. Don't be afraid. Prayer is also a time resting in God's peace. One of the things I like to do often as a part of my prayer time is not to just be talking to God, but to be listening, to be alert and listening for what it is that He wants to say, how He wants to speak. The early church fathers had a way of praying they called contemplative prayer, where they would just be still and quiet, and instead of forming words in their minds, they would try not to think about the activities of the day. They would just focus their mind on Jesus. It's not what the Buddhists do and say you're going to empty yourself. Because if you empty yourself, all kinds of things might come in. We want to focus ourselves on Jesus. And so in contemplative prayer, we sit quietly before God and we invite Jesus just to be present with us. We rest in Him. We're quiet with Him. And even for a period of time, we're not even really anticipating that He would speak to us. Just that He would be with us. And that we would enjoy His company. It's akin to sitting quietly with your sweetheart and holding his or her hand and just enjoying the moment. That's a part of what our prayer can be. When we take our time and come quiet before Him, it allows us to let go of the anxiety. Those who monitor these things, which you can find it on your own if you practice it. If you watch a person who's really learned how to enter into deep contemplative prayer, you can, in a few minutes' time, lower your breathing rate, decrease your blood pressure, and just find peace with God. This kind of praying helps us to live in the present instead of worrying about tomorrow, but to just be present with God today. You know the scripture, Matthew 6. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. God's so wise. Gordon MacDonald expressed his thoughts this way, thinking about that verse. No man ever sank under the burden of the day. It is when tomorrow's burden is added to the burden of today that the weight is more than a man can bear. So the encouragement today is, in your praying, to learn how to release the worries and cares of your life to God. To just be quiet in His presence. That doesn't mean that's all you do in prayer. I'm not suggesting that. But certainly He wants us to articulate our cares to Him so that He can carry them. But some of our prayer time, if we'll just sit and be quiet, and when our mind begins to float away and think about the cares of the day, have some way that quickly you can center your thought back on Jesus. I do that with a picture. It's a picture that I've known since I was a little boy in Sunday school classes. It's a picture that's still in the bedroom of our home today that Linda got when she was a little girl in a different Sunday school class in a different church in a different city. Same picture. And I can just put that picture of Jesus sitting quietly in my mind. And it helps me just to relax and be still in His presence. Maybe it would be the simple word, Jesus, that would focus your mind back on Him when you begin to stray. It's one more thing that this passage in Philippians talks to us about in terms of prayer and worry. Prayer sets your mind on lovely things. It really does. Philippians 4:8 says, "And now, dear brothers and sisters, let me say one more thing as I close this letter. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right. Think about things that are pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise." You see, when we take the negative stuff, the worries and the cares and the pains and the hurts, and give them to Jesus, that allows us to shift the focus of our thinking so that we're not thinking about the loss of what we're experiencing or the worry that we're carrying, the concern for life. It allows us to shift the way we think so that we can see that even in the midst of that negative stuff, God is at work. He's present. And He will help us to be able to see things from his perspective, which is always so much different than ours. See, a part of this kind of praying and of setting our mind on the things that are true and honorable and right, another way to talk about that is to say we want to develop the mind of Christ. We want to begin to see things the way He sees them, not in the ways that we see them. To know that as we give our worries and cares to Him, He changes us, He reshapes us, and He helps us to set our mind on the pure, the lovely, the admirable, the things that are excellent and worthy of praise. We can do that even in the darkest of moments, but it's a matter of choice. It's a choice to give our worries and cares to God. One additional thought that comes from this passage in Philippians is not necessarily linked to the idea of prayer, but it is an additional insight that will help us in dealing with our worries. That is to look for mentors who have learned to live well. I find this in Paul's words, verse 9, when he says, "Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the peace of God will be with you." Who do you know in your life that lives well? Maybe they're older than you. Maybe they're just older in the faith than you. They might be 10 years younger, but they're older in the faith. And they've learned how to live life with a sense of peace, a sense of being at ease. Who do you know is like that? If there is someone like that, why not take them out for a cup of coffee or invite them over to the house for a meal and just say, "Hey, I really want to talk to you about something. Here's what I see in you. How did that develop?" Now, they might be embarrassed to talk about it. Just remind them you're not asking them to brag on themselves. And maybe they don't see themselves the way you do. But to just say, "I see peace in you. Where's it come from? I see that you don't get worried very easily. Why is that? How did you cultivate that in your life?" I think that's part of what Paul's saying here. It's what you see, he says, what you see in me, put that into practice. All of us need people in our lives who have experienced things that we haven't, that can help us to move forward in our faith, to walk a little farther on the journey, and to help us navigate the detours and the ditches. I have people like that in my life. You probably do too. People that, as I have thought about the impact and the influence they've made in my life, they're just huge. They're giants. They would never think of themselves that way. They just wouldn't. Because they would say, "Well, I'm just ordinary people. Ordinary person." No, one of them was a guy who was a Sunday school teacher when I was young. And worked at a hospital in purchasing his whole life. He wouldn't see himself the way I see him. But he's taught me so much about faith. He's not that much older than me. But he's older enough. He's had different life experiences. And he teaches me immensely about what it means to live for Christ and what that looks like. Find someone whose faith is strong and sure. Someone whose wisdom is filled with the wisdom of God, not just their own. And that can help you along the way. Chuck Swindoll talks about worry. One little sentence. "Worry pulls tomorrow's cloud over today's sunshine." Well, friends, what are you worrying about? What is it that you're carrying that's causing you distress, discomfort, discouragement? We're going to pray together in a moment. And as we pray, I'm going to invite you to do what the Scripture says, to cast your care upon Him. Whatever that looks like for you, whatever it is you need to just articulate to God, as we pray together and as I lead us in prayer, I want you to pray your own prayer and give that to Jesus and let Him take it. Trust Him. Have faith in Him. Have more faith in what Jesus can do for you than you have misplaced faith in what you think might come true tomorrow. Put your faith in Him. Would you stand with me? What's causing you worry today? What's heightening your anxiety? Name it in the silence of your mind. Name it. And as I pray, offer it to Jesus, to ask Him to help you. For He will. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that You are a God of love. And that in the depth of Your love, You hold out for us the opportunity to walk life with you. And part of that is the ability to talk to you and to say, here's my worry. Here's my concern. Here's what I can't get a handle on in my life, and I need your help. Would you carry it for me today? Lord, as you hear the prayers of those gathered here, would you come very near? Would you break through to heaven and into this place? And would you take their worries and their cares? Give them a confidence to know that you're at work. Lord, in the days ahead, whatever it is that each of us might be turning over to you right now, would you help us to be able to look back on it and say, God was right there with me. Jesus was very real. Would you give us a testimony that says God works all things together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose? Lord, thank you for being with my friends here today and helping them to cast their cares upon you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.